Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and guess what? I'm Rusty. Yes, and it's a rainy day, so I'm a little squeaky too. Just teasing, sort of. I am a little squeaky. I was going to go to the gym today and run my 3, and my back was sore, so I decided not to and just kind of laid on the bed and enjoyed the sound of rain. Today, I'm supposed to have Preston Smiles on. He is this fabulous guru of love. He has this project in Uganda that he's working on. I'm really looking forward to hearing from him. So if you're out there, Preston, dial in. The number here is 347-205-9443. He hasn't called in yet, and Sunday nights have been kind of clunky. Even though we are sending out reminders to people, for some reason they forget. So we're still working on the kinks on Sunday nights to see if this is something that's going to be advantageous for all of you. As you know, I host this show in a down-to-earth, organic style, and it's reflective of experience and humility. I absolutely believe that this show should be simple, comfortable, and compassionate. The show's topics are to inspire and motivate and challenge you, my audience, my listeners. We're over 200,000 people internationally. I am so grateful. I love all of the pingings and pangings that have been happening on Facebook and on my fan page and on Twitter in the last couple of weeks. It's been crazy busy. So I'm grateful. Keep the comments coming in. Keep sending me emails. I'm here. I'm here for you. And I'm grateful. And Karen, well, she has a dartboard with my face on it, and I'm okay with that. I made it for her. So keep it going. And if we can actually get some sponsors, we can do this 5 days a week, which would alleviate a little bit of Karen's time, because we have, I think, over 300 inquiries just in the last couple of weeks of people who want to be on the show. But to keep Karen employed and make that happen. Again, you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty, and we're supposed to have Preston Smiles on, and he hasn't dialed in yet, but I'm sure he's clunking around trying to get to a phone. I wrote my last blog, what I consider all the lessons I have learned about online dating. That's been quite a hit. People have actually told me that their belly buttons have popped off and various of their body parts have fallen off or laughed in such hysterics that they actually peed their pants. So for those individuals who peed your pants, I do apologize partially, and I have sent you some packages of protection for for future blogs that may make you laugh in a tyrannical fit. Nose bubbles are always appropriate. Again, give us a call, 347-205-9443. Today is February 2nd, and February is the month of lovers, and we have Valentine's Day, Cupid, individuals who are dating, individuals who are making these beautiful plans for romantic dinners and so forth. I don't think anybody's really explained February to anybody clearly yet, but February is the month of my birth, so we're all about love here. And if you have a great story, or if you want to give a shout-out to your loved one, I'm opening up the phone lines for that as well for the entire month of February. So call in. Tell me a story about your loved ones. Let's see. Next week, I'm just looking to see who's on Wednesday this week. It's just been crazy busy. I can't keep up with anybody. Karen is fabulous with coordinating all of this. It's loading. Everybody's a little sleepy. I think it's because it's that Super Bowl thing or something. People are eating all that fat food and, watching people throw round balls. I absolutely love football. Don't get me wrong. I think of it as paid eye candy. I don't know what they're doing. I just know they're throwing around a ball. I'm okay with that. It's not really my sport of choice. Soccer is my sport of choice. But, you can't complain as a lady sitting back having a glass of wine or a beer and eating chicken wings and watching a whole bunch of men beat each other up. I don't complain. I really don't. So Wednesday, February 5th at 1 o'clock, we have Susan Caldwell of Applaud Women, Inc., and she's a fascinating woman. I actually met her last year. She was at a cancer fundraiser, and she hosts and makes a female-driven magazine here in New England. So I'm looking forward to talking to her. She's a very fascinating woman, and what she does is great. I'm feeling like Preston's not going to be on. I'm going to ping him, so I'm going to let you listen to What is a Voice, which a poet named Just Call Me Ishmael made for me, and it is beautiful, and I love it. So I will send that to you while I try to get a hold of Preston. Thanks.
What is a voice? Now, you may say it's a sound produced in a person's larynx that rumbles through the lungs for a breath of vibrations to be accepted as and only into generic speech. Now, that's basic terminology taken out of context due to the fact that we hear many styles of it on a regular basis. So much to the fact that eardrums become complacent and tend to forget that it's a magical feeling to hear words translated into sentence. Earth placed the ones gifted in speech near the blocks of ice to complete the cycle of life in the beginning of time. Driven into words, convictions would melt the walls and end thirst, awe, and release the sun rays to reflect rainbows to pass on to tomorrow as we see them today. Most of these people were born before the season of spring. The scroll was found frozen on a cliff near a rare and almost forgotten to the human eyes of existence. It marvels and wind sings songs through the branches of the Japira tree. The Jupiter tree was the last of its kind and could be dated back to the family line inside the Garden of Eden. No other way to climb that high without falling from the sky. A little girl from the water tribe patiently awaited for patterns to be revealed through clouds as planets aligned with Uranus underneath the rising moon. She tiptoed on stars, for her curiosity of mystique ran wild like the beautiful lilies under the path near the flowing stream. The story continues on as the scroll was passed on to the elders, then to the chief. But only the girl could translate it because it was written in her own image. It was a gift that came from the sap of the tree. People from all over the world would come just to hear her speak. The tree lived its life, and the girl kept the seeds in a yellow pouch to her side. Generation after generation, gift of telling a story was passed on through her bloodline. Silly as this sounds, this story is so close to the truth. I know of another who can control the curve of the waves that break near the water in the morning to unfold sun beyond the horizon. A moment of happiness transitions into creation as Rusty corrodes through the norm of high frequency and radio. Living and thriving with inspiration absorbed into motivational speaking that was passed on through the water tribe in a scroll from the imagination of a little, young, sweet, beautiful girl. Like her ancestors did for those of the past, let and absorb Rusty's own blend of organic words as they mix into moods of harmonic, vibrant release combinations of citrus and the meadows of desired lyrics of unique patterns. The clouds compliment her with showers during the heat. Now take a seat and vibe, for she is the true definition of the voice.
Oh, thank you so much. I call me Ishmael. That was beautiful, and I really appreciate it. I've reached out a few times in a few different places to Preston, and I haven't had any luck getting a hold of him. So tonight is going to be an open show. What do you want to talk about? I'm currently writing next week's blog on what makes success. Do you want to talk about that? Give me a call, 347-205-9443. It's Sunday night. It's Super Bowl night. That might be why he was mildly distracted. I'm getting on the phone. Who knows? But I'm here, and so are you. And there's a few people in the chat room. So hello, chatty people. Waving to all of you. Thank you for joining me tonight. Let's talk about success. That was one of... Oh, someone called in. Let's see. Hello, you're live.
Hello?
Living inside. Hello?
Oh, hello there. This is Preston Smiles.
Yay, high five. I was getting worried. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, I'm pumped up.
Well, we have actually quite a few people on who are dying to hear about you and what you do. And the show, as you know, Karen probably prepped you a little bit. I'm really easygoing. And we'll start with who are you and what do you do?
Who am I?
I know, it's amazing.
My name is Preston Smiles, and I am a lover. I am a huge lover. Everything that I do, which I'm about to say in a second, is the same thing. So I'm going to preface it with that. So one, I write for the Huffington Post. I write for the Daily Love, now soon to be Positively Positive, and I'm writing a book. Two, I am the co-founder of the Love Mob, which is organized acts of love. We do giant flash mobs all over the country in the name of love, different conscious love events. Creating love as a lifestyle, basically. We're changing the face of it. Somebody called us the Enlightened Cool Kids, which I thought was hilarious. And I am a artist and a motivational speaker, motivational messenger. So I go into schools and I speak about the heart of leadership. That's me.
Okay. All right, so in a nutshell, you're just this really cool guy who goes around talking about love and being authentic and true. And are you a hugger? Because I'm a big hugger.
It really is.
How do people, I actually, I stalked you on YouTube. Karen's like, you have to have him on. He's wonderful. And I was like, all right. So I started to look on YouTube. I love your videos because you kick it, you rock it, you're authentic, you're true. You have this amazing ability to be relatable even to the hardest of critics. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, that my YouTube channel is a work in progress. I actually am about to release another video that is awesome. A part of doing anything is if you keep doing it, you get better and better, just like this blog.
Amen.
That you're doing, et cetera, you know. So it's I'm definitely finding that sweet spot where, you know, people learn three different ways, visually, auditorily, and kinesthetically. And if you can speak to people's listening in such a way that it hits their heart, it's a game changer. And that's my goal every time I speak anywhere, at any point.
I love the fact that you can relate to that. I personally have discovered as I was writing my book about my life that I'm a visual writer. So I actually had to pull back and tone down my book because people really didn't want to know how many droplets of blood came dripping out of my face when I was punched. You know, so, and I'm like, but I love movies, so I write the way I see. And we're going, but let's make it PG. And I think you're right. I think that we are stimulated by sight, sound, and feel. When did you stumble across your gift? I mean, you must have had to grow into this, or were you just magically this cool kid?
It's a little bit of both. I always had some type of really crazy intuition. And, you know, one of the stories that I tell is, you know, I was 15 when I first really, really tapped into, like, oh, there's something here. There's something more. There's a divine intelligence. Like, we know and we talk about God. I was raised Christian, but this was a whole other level. And what it was I was one of those kids. I got kicked out of a bunch of schools. I was dyslexic, and they misdiagnosed me, so they just called me special education and basically made me feel stupid. So,
they got that one all wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So I would make up for that by being a class clown, by being in a gang, being the best dressed, the most aggressive. I was all these things, and therefore, birds of a feather flock together. So I had these beautiful friends who were also in a space that they didn't really understand what to do and be with their energy. And one night, they came over, and we were going to do what we always do, which is smoke weed and drink and be dumb kids, essentially.
Did you eat a lot of Doritos, too?
Yes, exactly. Just like full-fledged American, like, kid stuff.
Right.
And completely in the matrix. And something in me said, don't go. Like, just every – they were in my house. They were like, you're going to be a bleep. And I'm like, yeah, I think I am. Like, I'm not going tonight. And usually I would fight over the front seat with my friend Scott. And long story short, they left my house, and within an hour, everybody in that car was shot. And my friend Scott died that night instantly when he was shot in the face. So that one kind of hit home. I was like, okay, what just saved me? What the heaven was that that just saved me? Because any other night I would have went. There's no doubt about it. And that was sort of the opening where I was like, okay, A, I got to get out of here. So I moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and went to an all-white high school where I was literally the only black person in the whole school, and started this other adventure, which lands me here, understanding that separation is the only problem we have. And I feel like I'm one of those solutions. I'm with you and everybody else who understands that. Hello? Hello?
Ah, I muted myself. You're very lucky. I muted myself. Most people pay to have me muted. just kidding. So for those individuals, again, the show is over 200,000 people internationally, at least on Wednesdays. Sundays are kind of new, so I'm learning what the demographics are. But explain what you mean in regards – there's three things I want to know for the first part of the show. What was it like to be the only African-American child in an all-white school? Because I actually had the opposite role. I was the only white child in an all-white school.
Yeah.
And I learned how to run real fast. That's chapter 3 in my book. But what was it like to transition that gravely? What was your grieving process like to lose all or just one or two of your friends that night? That must have been quite impactful. And how did you translate this very cosmic 2x4? I think, you know, some of us, we're born really gifted, but we're stubborn as goats, and we just don't listen. And God really shake things up and smack us right in the head, and I call it cosmic 2x4s. And I think that's what this, what happened to you, you got the big old cosmic 2x4, but how did you relate that to separation?
Okay. So I'll start at the first question. The first question is how was that being at all, and I'm doing quotes here, white school, being the only African-American? It was pretty amazing, actually. I was very, very thankful for it. Like I said, I was put in special education really early. So what kids do is they survive, and how I survived was being personable. So I was like this alien in this school of kids who all listen to hip-hop music and, like, wish they could see a black person. So I came in, and they were like, yes, we finally got one.
Yay!
They all wanted to hang out and, like, you know, take me to the special parties and all that stuff. It was really beautiful. What got me was the winters. I was a California kid, and once that winter hit, I was like, yeah, going back to L.A., definitely going back to L.A. So that was a really special thing for me, especially now, you know, years down the line, being able to, you know, in my talks, I always say this one thing, which is I'm not even black. I know I may appear to be this 6'2", chocolate, beautiful thing, but, like, underneath all of this, you're not white, just like I'm not black. We are just
Exactly. You know? I roll on frequency. That's it.
Exactly. We are energy in a space. This is all vibration, baby. And when we really tap into that and understand what mirror neurons are, and like when those things fire off, that's our truth. You know, like when it happens every day. Whenever there's a disaster, we get to see who people really are, because people step up, not Christians, not Muslims, not Patriots or Broncos or anything else, which is our form
of timeline tonight.
I'm going there. Fired up. Exactly. All of that stuff is a distraction, and I don't hate on it, because beautiful stuff that comes out of sports. There's a discipline, a camaraderie, distraction from what is really happening. You know? So, yes. That's question number one. What was number two?
Number two was your grieving process, in which you were, 14, 15 when this tragedy happened? Yep. And I call it a tragedy, even though, and I use that word because to me it's a generic word. I think that it's a life lesson and was intentionally placed in your life to spur you to be who you are. But that's just me being a little fruity, nutty guru type. A lot of people that listen understand it more. It pings at their soul as a tragedy versus the positives that it have come out of it. So,
true.
What was the process?
True. The process was not actually, I didn't understand how to deal with it or be with it. So what actually ended up happening was they all got shot. My friend Scott died. And the next day I was on my way to a basketball game. And this is when people had car phones in their car. And somebody called my dad's car phone while my mom was in the car and my dad, which was ironic because they were broken up and not even friends, but somehow.
somehow they put that aside. That's good.
Yeah, somehow they were together going to my basketball game. And my dad got the call, he picked up, and I felt his energy drop, and he passed the phone to my mom. I felt her energy drop, and they passed the phone to me. And they said, you know, Scott and Rudy and all of them were shot last night. Scott died. I said okay, and just like thought that good. Go to the basketball game. They're like, you know, you don't have to play everything. I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, it's, you know, what am I gonna do now? He's gone. Right. Refs, they start the game. The ball gets tipped to me. I go to the basket, go up for a layup. I get fouled. I go to the free throw line. The ref hands me the ball. I take three dribbles and fall on the ground. Full flesh. Just crying my eyes out. I didn't even, it just, fully, all right there. I went home. I mean, we went straight to his mom's house and we pulled up and his mom was screaming, my baby, screaming. Before we even got out of the car, I could hear his mom. And that was really heavy for me for a long time. But the beautiful part, and the crazy part is after that, I regressed. But then, for that particular thing, I dealt with it by actually letting myself feel it, which is the big thing. You know, a lot of us don't allow ourselves to be upset and angry and cry and pissed off because we want to be so spiritual and perfect. But that's a part of the human condition, you know? So in that particular sense, I did a great job at 15 of being with that. But since 18, 17, oh, no. I would bottle everything up after that.
Well, I think, and I can talk from my personal experience, but I think it resonates very similar to what you're referring to in regards to, it is very easy for me to, so when you went to the basketball court, for me, I would have done the same thing. You know, I grew up on the streets, I grew up in very impoverished neighborhoods and just very tough life. And I mean, there's people that have grown up way tougher. I'm not comparing. I'm just saying for me personally, it was, you know, I had my challenges set forth. For me, I find that it's easier to be stoic and then deal with the emotionality in private later, like when I'm taking a shower or I'm driving my car, than actually be public about that because of my, you know, because of all the adversity that I've gone through. So for me, I totally would play basketball. I just would have been stoic, robotic mode. So do you think that because of that pain and that loss, because that's a huge loss, especially when you're young, we're barely coping with our hormones, much less losing our friends, especially to something so probably moronic, you know?
Yes.
Do you think that that's why you ended up becoming a stuffer?
Yes.
Instead of
That was one of the moments where I realized that this was all one crazy game that we were caught up inside of. That's when I realized, oh, there's more to this than what I'm actually playing in right now. Like, there's more. And that was just one time. I've had at least 25 times where I'm like, okay, I get it. Universe, God, divine intelligence, whatever your name is, I get what you're doing. Because
stop hitting me on the forehead, damn it.
Exactly. What I have come to understand is that it's a lot easier for millennials to hear somebody their age who's speaking from the inside out. You know, like when it comes to dealing with a parent who's a drug addict, I'm not talking from the outside. I know what that feels like. When it comes to being, you know, in a space where your whole life you've been taught how to treat women by TV and radio and all these different things, and then you come crashing up against a real woman and how to be with that. Like, that's, there's a lot of elements that millennials especially have a hard time being with. And that's why at this point I'm now sort of switching gears and targeting them because, you know, this is the largest young people generation in human history.
And they have, I think they have the hardest, they definitely have the hardest, you know, I'm going to be 380 in a couple of weeks, and I've seen a lot, but I was with my high school sweetheart for 5 years, and I was with my ex-husband for 16 years,
wow.
I mean, you can do the math, you know, I've been out of the loop for a long time, and they call me Rusty. Anyway, but as I start dating and I start, you know, getting out there, it's weird. This whole world's weird. And I like certain, like, I love to go dancing. You can get me out on a dance floor as long as it's not country, no offense to my country friends, but I love dancing. And I love techno and Tiesto and I actually saw him for my 370th birthday, and it was awesome. But even the language in some of the songs, and there are certain pop stars that I actually enjoy their music. I cringe when they use certain language that refers to just partying and having, you know, orgies and living the high life and influencing the younger generation to be something that is A, non-committal. I'm not judging. I'm just saying I'm not used to that kind of stuff. And B, not respecting themselves.
Exactly.
Like, and so it's got to be a very difficult role for you to impress upon these kids who are not only techno-robotics, they don't have the same, you know, build a fort, stay out until dark.
Exactly.
Stuff that my group does. And not to say that my generation had our own barrel of problems, but I find that this next generation is definitely less emotionally involved. And I loved how you utilized mirror neurons because there are very few of us who understand that. And if you're handing your child an iPod or an iPad or an iThis or an iThat, and I have Apple, so it's not a discrimination against Apple. It's the concept of giving them an electronic device to fulfill their needs. They are becoming what I call Autobots versus humans. And humans sit down and have conversations with each other. Humans get into fights. Humans criticize each other. Humans hug each other and touch each other and love each other. And, well, you know, sometimes you really don't like somebody. But you learn that from each other. And your generation, well, I don't want to put you in that particular, but you look young enough to be a youngin'. You guys don't have that same stuff, essence.
How did you
figure that out? Because us old farts, we're sitting here going, Lord have mercy, those kids need to be put in a box and shown what a crayon is. And then, B, how did you actually develop this program where you're focusing on this kind of fine line of almost not emotional group of people?
Yeah. Well, the beauty is, and you know, I spoke a couple months ago at this speaker's boot camp, and they gave us an assignment. You had to convey to the audience in 6 seconds, and there were six of us. There were six of us, and you had 6 seconds to prove that you should be the one that gets to speak on this giant stage in front of, you know, almost 1,000 people. And
right.
When it got to my turn, what I said was, you know, it's clear that we have some issues in the world. It's clear. With all the school shootings and the different natural disasters and Fukushima and Kim Kardashian and all the BS that's happening, we have some issues.
I didn't even know what that was. I have to tell you, I didn't know what a Snooky Cookie or a Boo Boo or a Dashian or whatever that is, because I don't have cable. I don't feed into that stuff. And I actually had to ask my daughter.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I purposely listen to their music just so I know what's speaking to them. And what I said was I am in the most unique position ever. Why? Because I'm 33 years young. That makes me the last year of millennials, which means I grew up in a time where there wasn't a bunch of technology thrown at us. I was in that space in between where I know what it's like to be a baby boomer and play outside all night, all day, and get bruised up and fight and play. But I also know what it feels like to have Sega Genesis thrown at you. And all the – that's where gangster rap.
You know what a Genesis is?
Exactly.
I bet you didn't play Asteroid on Atari or Donkey Kong.
I sure did.
Did you?
I bet you I did.
You're so close to my age. Yay.
Am I? That's awesome.
I'm 30. I'll be 38. Yeah, you know.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that's how old my sister is. And everything she did, I did. That's how old my brothers are. So everything they did, I did.
So you walked back in Egyptian and you hung out with the Bengals and... And you loved Prince.
Mm-hmm. All of that. All of that.
Fresh Prince,
And then two, you know? So I'm in a position where I understand both. I understand one thing, especially for baby boomers in general, and that's why the Love Mob exists in its essence, is because in the 60s, they got it right. The only place they messed up is that they made an enemy. They said it's them versus us. It's the same thing as the 90s. 99%, you know, as soon as you make an enemy, everybody loses. So instead of focusing on all the stuff we don't want and all the BS that's happening, the Love Mob is creating spaces where people just get to get out on the streets and be with each other, just love each other up and make that popular, you know?
All right.
And
so I'm going
that's
to...
my angle.
Absolutely stress that you're not talking about having an orgy on the street. You're literally talking about the genuine aspect of platonically loving each other and seeing each other for the value of who they are.
Yes.
And this is not that I just want it because I do have some youngins that listen to some of those
hip-hop
jams that are always talking about a different kind of loving, which is cool. I'm all about loving all kinds of loving, but it's not what you're talking about.
No. So let me
describe
it.
Where do we find the love mob?
Exactly.
How do we become a love mob?
Everybody's in the love mob. Everybody. We are organized acts of love, and everybody is love at their base frequency. So it's a matter of you choosing it by A, hitting the Facebook like page or following us on Twitter or just going to thelovemob.org and watching some of the videos and seeing if that aligns with with who you are. The last Love Mob we did, just in L.A., we did six cities, but the one in L.A., we shut down sales at the Grove for 30 minutes. They brought up police helicopters and everything. And once they realized that all we were doing was singing the Beatles song, All You Need Is Love, on Black Friday. I mean, it wasn't Black Friday. It was December 14th, which is the second largest shopping day in the United States, and the Sandy Hook anniversary. So basically we just came out to lift the voice, the name of love, and be a disruption for all the consumerism, you know, because it doesn't matter how many TVs we get. At the end of the day, on your deathbed, all you'll care is if you've truly loved and if you've been loved.
Oh, I just sent you lots of love and lots of kisses and hugs, by the way, you know. I want to keep you. So if you guys have any questions for my buddy Preston, who's this cute, handsome fella out of Southern California who's all about love, and he's a hugger, and you know how I feel about huggers, so and he's calling to me, which is very unusual. Call in.
Yes.
He's got a wealth of information. The number here is 347-205-9443, and we're going to go to a quick commercial break because I'm looking for sponsors, and if you guys want to sponsor, this would be an awesome place to hear your voice. Just saying.
Tune in weekly to Living and Thriving with Rusty McDonald, inspiration on tap. A radio talk show that is down to earth, organic, and reflects years of experience and humility. Tune in and join Rusty McDonald as she explores topics related to mind, body, and soul. Visit her website for more information, www.rustymcdonald.com.
Wow, Super Flash, we're back. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and guess what? I'm Rusty. Yes, and it's Sunday, and it's a rainy day, so I'm squeaky, too. I am blessed to have Preston Smiles on. We're chit-chatting about love. We're chit-chatting about the love mob and how you can actually be a part of the love mob. Preston has had an adventurous life, to say the least, and learning more about him. And the one thing that I'm really dying, I'm just like kind of chewing on my fingers, I want to learn about the Uganda Project.
Ah, okay. Where did you even hear about that? That was one of...
You know, it's one of those things where you have a lot of people. I'm like a park. I'm like Central Park. So I'm just the park. I'm the grass. And there's all kinds of chatty people and all these birds that are chatting. I just listen. So talk
gotcha.
To me.
Well, I do not... what we do is... One of the things that the Love Mob does is this thing called the Beat, which is a 300-person interactive jam session. So we bring together all of these amazing, powerful, beautiful musicians from all over, put them in one space, and we create this ball of music. And it's super awesome. A part of what happens is we choose a charity to donate the proceeds from the night to. The Uganda Project was one of those. And we still, you know, keep in contact and give our energy, money, to them as much as we can. It's a beautiful thing. It's run by a kid named Griffin Matthews. I highly suggest Googling them. They're going to have a musical on Broadway. That's in the works right now.
Wow.
Really beautiful. Yeah, they got a lot going on. And this kid is the real deal. The dude who runs this is the real deal. I love that about him. He's very selfless, and he actually takes care of these kids. So he went down there to do one thing and ended up meeting these kids in Uganda and has paid for them to go to school and now college. And he's only like 24. So he's watched them, you know, for like 7 years, spending his own money and anything else he can get to put these kids through college, and he's only 24.
What is the Uganda Project? Because you kind of you missed the About Me page on that one. You just shot over to the fundraiser page.
You know, I would rather not explain it completely because I would butcher it. I would highly suggest people go to it because it's not my organization, so I don't want to butcher what.
Gotcha.
What
so how
that
did
is.
You, how did you become affiliated? You were part of this really cool jamming thing that raised funds for this cool kid who's helping kids in Uganda. That's basically the summary.
Exactly. Yeah, the summary is all, and it's happening all over right now. Like, I'm going to go to Utah to do a summit series in a couple weeks, and all of these amazing people keep suction cupping to each other. My girlfriend was in London. This is how we met. She's in London. She runs a nonprofit called Epic, which builds clean water wells in Africa. She's in London. I'm in LA.
Is that Jules?
And
Jules Clean Water
what?
One? Is that Jules Clean Water?
No. I doubt it.
Musician Jules?
No.
Okay.
No, but there's a couple of them that I know of.
Yes.
But she's in London, and somebody says, hey, there's a guy in L.A. that is very similar to you. He's basically the male version of you. And that's what I love about the Internet. And, you know, Martin Luther King said that the technology has turned the world into a neighborhood. And that's exactly what it is right now. All of us light bearers, torch bearers like yourself, are holding up this torch, and we're finding each other and making a powerful fist, you know? So that's what – I'm going off tangent here, but that's why our hashtag is Love's Voice. So we hashtag everything Love's Voice, because we believe that you are Love's Voice. Anybody who speaks and does anything in the name of love is Love's Voice. So I ended up meeting her through the same sort of scenario, which is amazing people keep finding each other, and it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're supporting each other in any possible way.
Well, and I think, and you know, I think that there's this really cool movement of energy. Like I've always been this feisty redhead who's determined and so focused on my goals that nothing really deters me from doing what I need to do. And one of the things, it's the way I was born. But I think that there's this movement where we are really kicking and screaming, and not in a negative way. I mean, a very positive kicking and screaming to engage, encourage, support, push positivity, less consumerism. I find it interesting that there are more and more people who have, you know, when I was growing up, it was kill your TV. We don't say that anymore, but there's a lot of individuals that are popping up like popcorn all over the world who just don't have the time or the energy to feed into this negativity. And when you become authentic within yourself and you become good with that, it's amazing how many people you attract. And I mean literally all over the world, you attract these like-minded people. You're like a little beacon. You know,
mm-hmm.
like an old 19, it's like a Twilight Zone or, you know, when we were kids and there was like three TV stations and you had bunny ears on the TV and you had to sometimes smack it if you had a TV. But, you know, you saw the world in this one TV tower and it was flashing and it was black and white. There's a lot of flashing going on.
There is.
My point is,
there is.
Do you feel that once you really became authentic and true to yourself and what you were doing, you started to genuinely attract what you were giving out?
100%. Because like attracts itself. That is the law of response or the law of attraction at its greatest. And, yes, we are all just vibration and frequency, and we're always going to find each other. What I'm finding is the Internet is making that a lot faster. It's making things very small, and we're all super connected, like, in a major way. Right now, at the coffee shop that I am at, I am with a 25-year-old named Javon Langford, who runs a nonprofit called Mentors Making Major Moves. I'm with Chris Assad. You know,
I love Chris. I do. He's my
right
coachy
here.
Face, but I want to marry him. Don't tell him that. I love
him. I'm definitely telling them. Chris, Rusty said she's going to marry you.
It's like, no, crazy redhead. No, but I love Chris.
Gonna...
He was actually on the show a few weeks ago. No, I was in Florida.
Yeah.
He was on the show a couple months ago.
He's right here.
I love
him.
He's listening
to you.
Yay,
hello.
He's a good doobie. Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Where's the new tunage? I'm still stalking you on YouTube, listening to your music. I love
the
it.
The new tunage? Preston's been kicking my butt right now about me needing to put some new music up.
Thank you. So now you have two butt kicks. You got East Coast and West Coast. There you go.
Yeah, my butt is ready. I'm getting in gear. Are we on the air right now?
We're on the air. We're live, sweetheart.
What's up, everybody?
What's up?
Yeah. I got to tell you, after we got off that call, I posted a little snippet of something that you said about me needing to have lots of children. You said something like, I hope he has lots of children.
That's right.
It was one of the funniest compliments anybody's ever paid me. And my Facebook family absolutely loved it. They were like, they jumped right on it. It was so funny.
Well, and I think that when you have the beautiful soul that you have and like Preston has, there are individuals who create an environment of beauty. And when you create an environment of beauty, you raise beautiful people. And we need more of that. So have, you know, at least 12.
Sometime, one day.
You know,
not yet. I gotta make musical children first. I gotta make musical babies first.
That's right. Spread the love.
Okay, well, I'll let you guys get back to it. It was nice to say hello, and you can trust that I'm in very good hands here in Los Angeles. I found the best of the best, and
obviously,
we're just holding each other up to the highest. So,
amen. Like attracts like. We were just talking about that. Awesome.
I love it. I love it. Okay,
all
well,
right.
Sending love to you and all the listeners, Rusty. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, sweetheart.
Okay.
Yeah.
See?
How awesome is that?
That was totally awesome. But what makes it even more awesome is we were just talking about how like attracts like.
Uh-huh.
And so you're sitting with my little buddy from Toronto, Canada, who just got to L.A., what, maybe a year ago?
To spread
his beautiful joy and his love, and what are you doing? You know, you have a love mob, and it's beautiful. This is awesome. You just made my whole night. Thank you.
Exactly. It's one of those things that it's we're sitting on the precipice of one of the most important times in human history. Literally,
yeah.
What for me, I want them to look back and say they did it. I want them to say that they. That the world was going to explode, and a group of people came together and decided that the world wasn't flat after all. That's who we are.
Ooh,
we are the Christmas.
You read my blog. We're just talking
I
about that too.
I'm sure that we freaking are all the same. This is one mind. Yeah, Rusty.
It is one mind. Yep. Yeah, it was a part of my Trash the Box. I have this whole concept that it's really, really cool that we have this box. And as a child, we turn it into a spaceship and we turn it into a fort, and it's a members-only place. And it's, you know, it's a place where we sleep as kids. It's our hideout. It's our love out. It's whatever. It's generally where kids get their first kiss, too, right? You know, you're like 5 years old, you whatever. But when you become an adult, you kind of become this boxed in person. So you live in a box and you work in a box and your mind is in this box and you have to lose weight because you're not fitting this box. And and so it goes on and on and on in regards to how one day we realize by stepping outside of the box that maybe the world wasn't flat after all.
So exactly.
That is the transition piece.
That's a beautiful analogy. I've been, you know, it's so funny. I love that. Love it. Like that's one of the reasons why I'm at a cafe instead of at the Super Bowl party or whatever that is. Because it's that time. It's that important that people like you and I and Chris and Javon and my girlfriend and a million other people step the hell up and make it happen. We are going to will this thing into existence because Love's Voice in 2014 just to be louder than hate. That is it. That is all there is.
Well, and I'm gonna kind of take you down a little bit because, you know, what I've found is that the more love that we're putting out there, the more darkness also is being put out there. I'm finding the very few times that I engage with social, you know, news groups, it's very... I go to the gym every day. I'm running 2 marathons, and so I'm training. And I purposefully don't wear my glasses because everything's fuzzy. Because if I wear my glasses, then I actually am forced to watch the TV screen. It's kind of hard not to, so if I don't wear them, then I'm kind of like, oh, it's kind of fuzzy, what's that? But it's all negativity. It's like first thing in the morning, I'm in the gym at 8:30, and this woman's being beaten up by this guy, or somebody's bombing somebody, or some sort of terrifying something is just filling our brains constantly. And if you were to listen to regular radio, again, it's this constant sadness, pain, kidnapping, you know, whatever. I find that there's a fine line with technology. I find that it can be a very beautiful thing, like you and I and Chris, my buddy over there, we're all able to engage with each other without actually having to be physically present. I find that I can coach, I have clients in Japan, and we Skype, and I coach them that way, and we have some connection. But I also find that there's a lot more predators that are utilizing this in a way to kind of deter from the positive pieces that it is. So being focused on the millennium generation, how do you propose to kind of curb and protect that negativity from entering that pure soul that we were born with?
I don't
think that question. Huh?
Yeah. For me, I just don't. So I have this thing that I do with my clients, because I also coach, is I say, okay, so those are the facts, but what's the truth?
Exactly.
And there's a big difference between the facts and the truth. There's a huge difference. And obviously, anybody who coaches must do the surgery on themselves, right? And everything is a microcosm of the macrocosm. So whatever I'm experiencing is you know, the small part of what's happening in the world. But it's the whole world,
right,
all at the same time. Using, but at the end of the day, what it comes down to is that actually true? And if so, is it two sides of the same coin? So, yes, wherever there's a huge light, there will also be a huge shadow. I embrace the shadow. I don't fight it. I don't go against it. What my whole campaign is if everybody can love Lil Wayne, they can also love Lil Preston. All I want to do is give them another option.
And that's an entirely different show.
We'll
have to have you on about loving Lil Wayne versus loving Lil Preston.
Exactly. We can love them both because we're both – Lil Wayne is dope. He's just using his energy in a way that doesn't necessarily serve the masses.
I think that – and this might be a little different than you're thinking, but I think that he's probably a very sweet, insecure person who feels and has been trained by environment to only – engage people in that way because that's the only way he knows. I think genuinely, if you were to get to the root of the problem is our environment and how we teach our children to engage. Like Chris was teasing me just a few minutes ago about how I told all my fans that he should have a lot of children. And it's because I think he would teach them to be loving white lights, and he would give them an environment where it was safe to grow, whereas I think the majority of people, especially inner city kids, which I grew up in and I understand, we were not given that. We were given fear. We were given hate. We were given sexism and racism and sacrifice and survival of the deepest kind. So I don't think people like Lil Wayne, I still think that they have light in them. I just don't think they understand what it is. Does that make sense?
We're saying the exact same thing. I said Lil Wayne is dope. He's just using the energy in a way in which it doesn't serve.
Oh, I thought you said guilt, not dope. I'm sorry.
No. Dope. I think Lil Wayne is amazing. I think he has a beautiful brain and an amazing heart, and he's just not clear on how to use that energy because for them, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. And we see with Philip Seymour Hoffman dying today, that it doesn't matter how much money you get. It doesn't matter how much money you have. If you don't deal with that inner stuff, you're basically dead anyway. This is a slow suicide.
Yep. And I also believe that you have, you're given a path that you have to walk on, and sometimes you're not here to deal with the inner stuff. Sometimes you're here to go through the lesson. I don't know.
Mm.
It's just my theory.
I hear
so
that.
So we are cutting down to the wire, my sweet friend, and I would absolutely love to have you on again.
Yeah.
I think you have a lot to talk about and a lot to share, and again, this is international, so you're hitting a lot of different cultures and a lot of different people, so it's beautiful, and I'm grateful to have you on.
Yeah, thank you,
you
for having me. You are, yes.
The last question that I ask everybody, and some people feel it's hard, what is the one thing that you really want people to take away from today? What message do you want to ring home loud and clear? You're throwing that ball right in there, that goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And what I would leave with anybody, which is the same thing I leave with everybody, which is there's only one. And I live by the creed that love will find a way. Everything else will find an excuse. And if we truly are to love anything, we must love the self first. So I would focus on that. Love the hell out of yourself, the heaven out of yourself, and you shall love everything and everybody.
And I do have to preface for those of you who are new to the understanding of dichotomy and embracing dichotomy, when he said to love the hell out of yourself and the heaven out of yourself, he was being literal, love the good side and the bad side.
Yes.
Of who you are, because your scars on the inside and outside, I can tell you, actually, I have a whole chapter of my biography where I labeled each and every scar, and they're actually very unique things that I forgot about. And those are lessons that I learned in life. Like, I don't know if you know Huffy bikes, but I was a goddess on a Huffy bike. I grew up with boys.
Yes.
Catching frogs, blowing them up, I'm very tomboy. Anyway, so we used to make these ramps, and I literally skinned from my hip all the way up to my armpit, that whole side of my body.
Yes.
Peeled the skin right off because I went up and I slid right across the, yeah. It was beautiful, nice and bloody. But I still, at 38 years, soon to be 38, I still have some of the scarring of that, and I totally forgot about that until I did the chapter, and I'm like, oh my God, that's right. I totally hit the skid. So loving the good side and the bad side is very important. Preston, we have 40 seconds. Where do we find you?
You find me at Preston Smiles on any type of social media you can think of, or PrestonSmiles.com. So Preston Smiles, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, PrestonSmiles.com. Love will find a way. Everything else will find an excuse. Let's go. It's time. It's time.
And don't try to friend him on Facebook, because evidently when I tried to friend him on Facebook, I forgot to ask you about this, it says that you can't friend him because he's got too many friends. So whatever. You
no,
can still like him on Facebook.
Yeah, no, but we still interact. I make everything public. So even if you just hit the follow button, that you can do everything that quote-unquote friend could do. I would not.
I know. That was the funniest thing. I'm like, really, he's got too many friends? Seriously? Hugh Hefner doesn't even have that many friends. Come on. Whatever.
No, let's connect, especially on Facebook. That's where I do a lot of my conversations, there and Twitter. But anyway,
right.
let's get it in. Rusty, you are freaking awesome. Like, really amazing. I love the Huffy story, especially. I appreciate you, and I would love to come back anytime.
Absolutely, and I love all the work that you do, and give Chris a big old smooch for me.
I will.
So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and Preston, my fabulous new friend, is doing some amazing things in this world, and I want you to check him out, follow him, give him love, and if you're in New England, let's start a love mob. I'm totally into this. I love the idea, and I'll have to get you back on so that you can explain to us how to do a love mob, because I don't know. I know how to hug people, but I almost got arrested last time, so whatever. So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and on Wednesday we have Susan Caldwell on. She is a fabulous, amazing, and you know how much I love redheads. There are very few of us left on the planet. She started her own female magazine called Applaud Women, which is about women entrepreneurs, and we're going to learn all about what she does. So know that you're beautiful. Know that I love you. I am so glad to join you on this path. We're walking together. We're learning together. And look at how cool these people are that are coming on to the show twice a week. Until Wednesday, live, thrive, and love.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.